John chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 19. John 20 and verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you for the truth of your resurrection, and we just thank you for just the peace that we can have because of what you've done. And but we recognize too, Lord, today just the mission that we have because of your resurrection, and we just pray you would help us to understand that as we embark upon a new year. And just may we just be used of you to be a blessing to others throughout this year to come, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so today is our first Sunday of 2019, and with the new year, I've been seeking the Lord's wisdom as what should be our focus, our theme, and our challenge for this coming year. And so as a result of that, the Lord has thus directed me to this passage of Scripture here in John 20 and to verse 21 in particular. And this 20th chapter of the Gospel of John details to us the events of the day of Christ Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And we just think of what a day that must have been for everyone that was present. It was a day, really, that changed everything. Just a few days before, Jesus had been betrayed, unjustly condemned, tortured, and crucified. And all of those who had been his followers were completely devastated. They had lost, really, all hope, all direction in their lives. They're consumed now with grief and fear. And you can just imagine how difficult it would have been for them to try to process everything that had just happened and really what to do next. That they'd pinned all their hopes and dreams on this one who now was in a tomb. And they were really worried that those who orchestrated the brutal death of their master would soon be coming after them as his servants. And so, mentally and emotionally, all of them would have been very much overwhelmed. And so then, we see for Mary to come to the tomb early in the morning and find no body within it, we recognize her mind did not immediately go to him being resurrected for obvious reasons. Her assumption was someone had come and stolen his body. And so this was a dishonorable act that prevented her and her friends from performing that final act of honor by anointing his body for his burial. And so the tragedy of Jesus' cruel death was great enough, and this really just added to that tragedy. It was really adding insult to injury, you could say. And so she ran and told Peter and John. They came running and they verified her report, but we find that there was nothing really that they could do. But we find that Mary remained there in the garden weeping, and in her grief she saw these two figures clothed in white within the tomb, and probably wondering just what they were doing there, why they were suddenly appearing, and they're asking, "Why are you weeping?" And of course, to her, that probably seemed like a very dumb question because it was so obvious why. But she turns from them and she ends up essentially bumping into someone, and she's crying so much that she's not really looking, doesn't recognize him. She thought this is probably the gardener. Maybe he would know whoever the scoundrels were that stole her master's body, that maybe they would know, or this gardener would know. And so she said, "Well, if you know, just let me tell me, and so I can try to bring his body back." And so we just see just emotionally how distraught she was and overwhelmed. But yet, just with one word spoken, everything changed. That this wasn't the gardener. This was her master come back from the dead. And she knew exactly who it was. He was alive, and that just really changed everything. Of course, she went back to try to tell people, and of course, we find that they wouldn't believe her. But we can imagine just the emotional roller coaster that she would have had in such a short time. And you can really understand why they wouldn't have believed her, that with everything that would happen, perhaps they thought that Mary had lost touch with reality. Maybe she was in the denial stage of the grief process. But we find them as disciples, they're gathering together behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They're afraid that they might be coming to arrest them and that maybe they'll be facing the same fate as their master did. But suddenly and unexpectedly, they're joined in that room by another person whom they immediately recognize. And we can understand why Jesus had to say, "Peace be unto you," to them twice, because they all would have been going through such an emotional roller coaster themselves. At first of all, they're afraid, thinking it was a ghost. Then they kind of disbelieve. They thought their mind are playing tricks on them. And of course, he had to show them his hands and his side. He said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And he had to prove to them. But they had such wonder and joy and gladness as they realized it's not a dream. I'm not imagining this. It's true. And Jesus is here. Jesus is alive. And it would have taken quite a bit for Jesus to just settle them down with all of this that was happening. And so he says to them, "Peace be unto you." And I would say that's honestly a message that we all need to hear today. And it often needs to be repeated to us, because we can get so worked up with all the cares and concerns of this life, we can wear ourselves out mentally and emotionally. And it is in such moments that Jesus really seeks to speak peace to our hearts, to reassure us everything is all right. And that peace we can have is, of course, predicated upon the truth of his resurrection. There's a song written not long ago that goes like this. It says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives." And that's the thing. His peace comes to us and comes to our hearts as we recognize he's alive, recognize he's conquered death itself, as we recognize he's in heaven today interceding for us, and as well we recognize that his spirit is within us to strengthen and guide us throughout all the challenges we face, that we can live in peace because of what he's done for us. And so it was necessary that our Lord Jesus had to settle his disciples down, and it was not only because they were so overwhelmed by emotion, but it was also because he had something very important to say to them. And they needed to be in the proper mental and emotional state really to take that in. And so you think about it, Jesus could have chosen any number of statements as his first statement to them. He could have tried to make a joke, or he could explain to them what death, going through death was like, what it was like on the other side. He could explain by what means he was resurrected. But no, he understood that being one of the first statements he would make after coming back from the dead, that it would be something that would stay in their minds. And so he wanted to make sure it was something that counted. And so having accomplished the work of salvation his Father had called upon him to fulfill, we see here really that he was now passing the torch to his disciples. And so he declares to them in verse number 21, he says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so this declaration, of course, we recognize applies not just to the disciples in that day, it really applies to all of us as his disciples. And it is this thought that Christ is sending us as his people, just as his Father sent him. And that is going to be our focus and our theme and our challenge for this coming year. That even as that as the Father sent Jesus, even so Jesus is now sending us. And so as believers, it is critical that we recognize that there is a purpose and a calling upon our lives. We're called to something much greater than ourselves that God wants us to be a part of. We think of it says in 2 Timothy of how it speaks of God who has saved us and who has called us with a holy calling. That's part of the whole picture that we don't want to miss. Because too often we can make the mistake of thinking our salvation is just about getting us to heaven when we die. And now that that's settled, that we can just live life however we want and it doesn't really matter. That really we're more or less just kind of killing time until Jesus calls us home. And really, when we study the scriptures, we find that nothing is further from the truth. That instead, God's plan for us is to walk with Him each day. He wants us to develop a dynamic personal relationship with Him. And through that ever-deepening relationship, we are then transformed into His image. And so, really, we think of what we went through last week, or this last year, of the idea of God's work in our hearts and all that He seeks to do, things He wants to take out, things He wants to put in. That's, of course, what we refer to theologically as sanctification. That we want to understand that all the work that God has been doing within us is not just done for its own sake. It's not just done just so life becomes easier for us. We want to understand that it's all done to prepare us to be a part of His work in this world to rescue lost souls. And so that's the thing, that He does a work in us because He wants to do a work through us. And so the one must happen and then the other. And so we read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, where it says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." That's the thing, that there is a good work that God is preparing us for. He works in us so that we can do a work for Him. He works in us so that He can do a work through us in this world. That we're saved from sin's penalty, and we're saved from sin's power, so that we might serve Him. And so the more we allow Him to do His work in us, then the greater service we can be for Him. And so as the Father sent Him, even so Jesus now sends us. And He has given us a mission to fulfill, and we need to fully understand what that mission is so that we can fulfill it. And so as we're going to see in the weeks to come, the mission on which Jesus sends us is really a continuation of the mission for which His Father sent Him to this world. And in this verse, we notice a few words that have tremendous significance. He says, "As the Father has sent Me, even so send I you." And so we have this sense that it is in the same way and to the same degree as the Father sent Jesus, in like manner Jesus now sends us. And so from that, two thoughts emerge. So first of all, we realize that as it says, "As the Father has sent Me," and the way that word is kind of the connotation in the Greek, it's the idea that we're sent by Jesus to others with the same authority as the Father sent Jesus to us. And so we can think of that coming out in that statement of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, where He gives what we refer to as the Great Commission. And He says this in verse number 18. He says, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And it's that thought that He gives us this commission, but it's predicated on the truth that we see in verse 18, where He says, "All power is given unto Me." And so that's the reason that we can go as He sends us. And when we look at this word power in verse 18, it's translated from the Greek word exousia, which has the connotation not of power in terms of strength, which would also be true, but it's power in terms of authority. And so all power and authority is given to Jesus from the Father. And so now with that authority, He is now authorizing us to go and to be used of Him. And we think of this as well in what's declared in John chapter 1 and verse 12, a verse I think all of us are fairly familiar with, where it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And again, the power here speaks of the power in terms of authority, which He gives to us who have believed on Him. And when we look at this passage, we generally think of it in terms of our justification when we first trusted in Christ. And also in terms of the idea of our adoption into God's family. And all of that is absolutely true. But there's more to it than that. Because we're given His authority and His power to not simply become the children of God, but it says that we're able to become the sons of God. And when we understand the culture of the time in which the Bible was written, we realize there's a reason why He says sons of God and not just children of God. Because, of course, He recognizes that whereas His children as sons and daughters, but there's a significance. Because in those times and in that culture, the son served as his father's representative. And when the son was sent by the father, that son would speak with his father's authority. And so if anyone was to disregard or disrespect the son, it would be as if they had disrespected the father as well. And so that's why we see the statement that Jesus makes in John chapter 5 and verse 23. It says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. And so there's that sense of that, of the one that's the Son, that this is the one the Father has ordained to be really his ambassador, his representative, the one that speaks on his behalf. And so we want to understand that all of us as believers, whether we're male or female, we're now, by God's grace, given the power, the authority, to become the sons of God. And it's not just in name only that this is a title that we have. It is actually really an office in which we're endued. That it's we have a authority and a responsibility as part of that name of being a son of God. And so we now serve as his representatives on this earth. And because of what he has done, we can now speak with his authority, just as Jesus spoke in his father's authority. And so we can read, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this really kind of lays out the thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18, says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." And so that's the thought, that we're serving as God's ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ, that Jesus' life's work was to reconcile the world unto himself. That's why he shed his blood and sacrificed his life for us. It was to reconcile the world unto himself. But now we understand that he has given to us, he has committed to us, the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. The God's word, the Bible, that it tells the story of what Jesus did. And so now we've been placed by Jesus into a position of great authority, great honor, and great responsibility. And so we need to fully appreciate that position and step up to fulfill this role that he has for us, that we're now have this responsibility that we want to go and tell people, be reconciled to God. He's done everything that's necessary so that you can have your sins forgiven, that you can enter into a relationship with him, and that he can transform your life. That's what we want to share with us. That's what he's given us to do. And it's the idea that we can go forth as he sends us, and we don't need to be afraid, because we know that he has our back. That he's not going to send us out with his authority and then just leave us hanging. That he's going to be with us. And that's what he promised as he gave the Great Commission. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." that he's not sending us out and on some kind of fool's errand where we have to try to do it all in our own strength by our own power and just kind of wing it based on what we understand, that instead we realize he's with us all the way, he's commissioning us, he's trying to direct us through his Spirit, and so and he's gonna be there to back us up beyond what we could ever imagine. And so we want to realize that, we want to understand what he's doing, and really recognize that the authority that he gives us to do his will. But secondly, we also realize that we are sent by Jesus in the same Spirit as the Father sent him to us. And of course, we realize there are some things the Father sent the Son to accomplish which are exclusive to him alone. For instance, we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 where it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And when we know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior this world will ever know, he's the only Savior this world will ever need. As we read in Acts 4 verse 12, he says, "There's none other name, neither is there salvation any other, but for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." And so we don't ever want to think of ourselves as the world's saviors. And as Christians, we want to be careful with that, that sometimes we can try to think that we're going to try to save other people, because we can't do that. We don't have that ability. That's not our role to play. That position has already been taken and is fulfilled way better than anything we could ever do. Instead, we realize our job is not to try to save the world. Instead, it's trying to bring the world to the one that will save them. That's our focus. But yet, we do realize that there remains a significant commonality between Jesus' mission and our mission. And so we must approach our mission that he's given us with the same mindset and accomplish it in the same manner in which Jesus accomplished his mission. And so God gave his Son so that all the world through him might be saved, and he wants us to share his gospel story throughout the world so that every person might have sufficient knowledge and opportunity to trust in Christ himself as their own Savior. And so we want to realize that through his sanctifying work, that he and everything that he brings in your life, it works together for good, because his whole purpose is that we would be conformed to his image. And it's so as we do his work as he sends us, we're learning to do his work his way. And it's kind of thing that I've been studying through this. I recognize that too often we try to do God's work our way, or in our wisdom, or in our own strength. And when we do that, it never does what we should do. And we can't be self-willed in this. We can't be think we can improve upon what Jesus did. We realize we need to learn to become like him. We need to allow him to do that work to change us to be like him, because we need that we have to offer in our own flesh isn't going to draw anybody to him. It's going to drive people away. And so he needs to live his life through us. And so we need to learn to have the mind of Christ. We need to see things as he does. We need to have the same attitude and really heart that he has for people. And we need to be guided by the same Spirit that guided him. And he wants to do that. And that's really, as we understand that Jesus, when he lived upon this earth, that he became fully God and fully man, that he divested himself of a lot of his power, and how he operated was as a man in submission to the Heavenly Father and enabled by the Holy Spirit. And that's really how we're to learn to live as well. And so he left that example. And so when he says, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you," that he says, I've laid out the pattern, I want you to follow it, and just understand the whole mindset of why I came, why I'm doing what I'm doing, and how we're to be directing ourselves in that way. But as well, we recognize really that so much of this mission that Jesus has for us, that really it's just passing on the blessings God has given us to those around us. As we've experienced His salvation, we've experienced His forgiveness, we've experienced His cleansing and His healing and His joy and His strength and His peace, that naturally we would say, wow, this is such a blessing. This is too great of a blessing for me to keep to myself. I want to share this with as many people as I can so they have what I have. That we think of in Peter of how it says that we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And the idea is a steward is given things not to hoard to himself, but to have available to dispense to other people. And Paul speaks of that, of this dispensation that was given to him of God, and then it says to you were. That it was like God made him know this mystery, and it wasn't something, it was this hidden knowledge that Paul was going to keep to himself. It was like, now that I receive it, God gave this to me to give to you, and I want to share it, I want to spread it as far as I can. And so that's really what we want to learn to do, is that as God has blessed us, that this is really our opportunity to do that. That it's we should desire to do that just because of all God has done for us. And really in sending us, Jesus is giving His full stamp of approval to do just that. To experience the same joy as He does in seeing Him deliver and transform other lives as well. That as we have been blessed, that He says, I'm sending you so that then you can help bring people to me, so that then you can see me work in their life and bless them too. And so it's such a privilege, really, such a blessing that He's sending us forward to do. And so it's something that really we should, when we truly understand it, it should fill us with a great enthusiasm of just, wow, this is what I get to do. This is what God is calling me to do. Wow, that I can be a part of this, even though when He saved me, I was such a mess, that now He's transforming me and making me into what He wants me to be used of Him. And so there's going to be a lot that we're going to be covering over the next several months, and I trust it'll be an encouragement, a challenge to us all. But for today, I just wanted to lay out just a couple things that really we want to understand that we as His people need to commit to. And so, first of all, we need to recognize God's workings in our hearts are for a reason. And it's to prepare us for the work that He has for us to accomplish. And thus, we want to realize is that we don't have the luxury of procrastination. And really, we should have a great motivation to allow God to do His work in us. We should not be saying to God, well, I'll deal with that issue that you're bringing up someday. It's just not that important right now. The fact is, there are people that need the Lord whose lives are going to intersect with ours. And the Lord wants us to be prepared to minister to them. And by the witness of our lives, draw them unto Himself. And the fact is, if we've been resisting God's work in us, then what's going to happen when our lives intersect with those people? That we're not going to be prepared to interact with them. And sadly, we may even drive them away from Jesus instead of drawing them unto Himself. And so that's not something that we want to do. And really, we should be excited about what God is doing in our life and realizing, okay, He's doing this in my life so that then I can be a blessing to others. And so I want Him to work, and I want to surrender to that, so then I have this opportunity that it's kind of the thing is that as I've experienced, as He heals my broken heart, then I know that He can then use me to help heal other people that have broken hearts. That as I have been comforted of Him, that then I can learn to comfort others. As I can have been encouraged by Him, I can learn to encourage others. That there's just so much that as we receive of Him, that then it's an opportunity to give to someone else. That we see what our needs are and we realize that. That sometimes we go through some of these struggles and difficulties and that really God wants to sometimes turn what was misery to us at one point in our lives into a place of ministry. And so we want to understand that, and we want to say, okay, Lord, I'm on board. I know what you're trying to do, and I know why you're trying to do it. There's a lot of other people that need help, and you want to use me to be in part of that process to help them. So, Lord, I'm going to submit to you, and I'm going to just allow you to do that work within me. And that brings us to the second thought. We want to really, as His people, we want to be aware of and submissive to His leading and direction in our lives. That as we understand that He's sending us, our response, we want it to be like the prophet Isaiah, where he said, "Hear my Lord, send me." That a lot of times we tend to think of God sending missionaries to some foreign land, and sometimes we're almost hesitant to just kind of surrender to the Lord because we're worried, well, where is He going to send me? And of course, we have to be very careful with that, because as one missionary once said, he said, there seems to be a never alarm in heaven, because he was one where he had heard about what was going on in China, and he was just praying, Lord, we need to send missionaries to China. And the Lord just kind of said to him while he was praying, he's like, well, what about you? And he was just like, well, no, I'll never go to China. And now this fellow is a missionary to China. And it just sort of happens that way. Sometimes when we're resistant, that might be just where the Lord sends us. And so it's good not to be resistant. But the understanding is, the Lord doesn't have to send us across to the other side of the world to find people that need the Lord. There's plenty of people right here in Kindersley, all around us. People that are being just destroyed by sin, destroyed by the different snares of the devil, that need to be set free, need to know that there's someone that loves them, need to know that there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sometimes Jesus might send us to the other side of the world, but other times He might just send us to the other side of the street. Just there might be someone, He says, okay, just because of who you are and the kind of relationships you have with other people, that you can reach certain people that maybe no one else can. And so I want to use you in that way. And we want to really learn to recognize the leadings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us. That there's different times where we see in the Bible, we think of Philip, of how he was in Samaria and being used of God there, but the Lord said, I will go out to Gaza. And so he's walking along down the side of the road. There's no one there. He's in the middle of nowhere, it seems like. And he probably just asking, why did you bring me here, Lord? But then he sees some dust in the distance, and he sees a chariot coming towards him. And the Lord says, well, go join yourself to that chariot. And so he does, and he finds that there's this man coming back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. He's got a copy of the scriptures. He's reading through Isaiah. Doesn't make any sense to him. And Philip is able to come up just at the right time, preach to him Jesus, and he comes to be saved and baptized and follows the Lord. And so it's kind of the thing, is that we want to realize that there's instances where God wants to do that with us, where if we're paying attention, if we're submissive to the Spirit, if we're listening for Him, it might be that He says, there's somebody I want you to call or text, give some words of encouragement, see how they're doing. There's someone I want you to stop by and visit. There's someone that could use just some help for today. And we want to be aware of that. We want to realize God's sending us, and we just think of really of how Jesus at different times where He ended up at what seemed to be random encounters with different people, but we realize there's nothing random about that. We think of when He went to went through Samaria, where always the practice was, well, we don't want to be anywhere near those awful Samaritans. We're just going to take a detour around them. And He says, nope, this time we got to go through. And He stops at this one place, and there's a woman that's there that someone needs to show love to, and so he's there at the right moment and shares with her the truth that she can have this life-giving water, and she comes to accept him as her Savior and invites many others to come and accept him too. And so we want to realize that that's what we see that of the Lord Jesus and of some of his disciples and others. He wants that to be part of our story too, where he's directing us, and as we're submissive, that we connect with these people at just the right time, and the Lord uses us to reach them for himself. And so as the Father has sent him, even so Jesus now sends us. And so throughout this year, as we get deeper into these thoughts in the Scriptures and really try to understand them and apply them, may the Lord help us through this year to come to just have that mindset that he has, and to really seek to be used of him to be make a lasting difference in the lives of those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we just pray, Lord, that as you seek to send us out, Lord, we would submit to that, and just not out of drudgery or duty, but just realizing, Lord, you have some great things you want us to be a part of in seeing lives transformed and delivered. Lord, just pray you would help us, and just to be aware and to be used of you in this new year, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.